I had no idea of the system and how messed up it was. Like, I want to curse.
No, it's a personal victory for me, honestly, when I hear someone drop an F-bomb. Thank you. Thank you for making my day, because that's why Bitcoin is such a shift in your reality. You all of a sudden realize, wow, now I have this veil lifted. I love that you're being real.
He's like, wow. Like, I feel like she's just sitting here right here talking to us. Like, I didn't even realize we were recording. I was like, oh shit.
I like catching you guys off guard. I love your little hodler in the background.
You have to be comfortable with being
Yeah.
uncomfortable.
I don't consider myself afraid of heights, and I would never do that stuff. I was like, I never get to see my shirt in my podcast.
I know, I like it. I never see it because I guess it's the way that
Yeah.
the
And
camera
I'm usually
shoots
sitting
you.
more forward, so you never get to see it, but I have my Bitcoin open. It's not just a regular black t-shirt all the time. I'm like, I'm trying to show it, but it's hard to see. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Tima.
Thank you.
You go by Jump Out Girls, and I want to learn all about you, and I love your little hodler in the background.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we actually my cousin gave him to us when I had my daughter,
Really?
so
So she's a
yeah.
Bitcoiner?
She's a Bitcoiner. She thinks that Satoshi is one of these monsters, but it's okay. As long as she's recognizing and can say the word, I don't
Yeah,
care,
I
you
heard
know?
you say that yesterday when you were hosting the space for the Satoshis. That was the cutest thing ever. She knows Satoshi and tells people about Satoshi.
Yeah.
That's so adorable. I loved your space yesterday. It was such a great space. It was about women in Bitcoin and moms and, how they teach kids about Bitcoin and what values, to instill in kids. And so many people were interested in it. And it's really great that you guys, just the whole community, the Satoshis community, is sharing that perspective, because we'd like to get more women involved in Bitcoin and to teach their kids it's the future.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't expect the turnout that we had. I think it was, what we thought was going to be like a small intimate group end up turning into this like massive, space, which, I loved it. And, it just kind of shows how the conversation needs to be had in the sense of like there are a lot of women in Bitcoin. We're just busy, right? They're taking care of the home, they're taking care of their family, they're tending to the kids, their jobs. And it just showed that a lot of women have, an idea and, representation in the space. And also that they have questions and that they want to be involved. And some, I like the honesty that happened yesterday. Some were saying that they wish they were more involved. They wish that they were, more involved in just understanding finances and, the process of everything. And then some said that they've been involved since day one. So I thought it was a good like balance of two different types of groups.
It was great hearing about that because some women, they're not very interested in finance, or their husband or spouse takes care of it. So they're
Right.
just thinking, I don't have to think about this stuff. But especially when you have kids, even if you don't have kids, you should be part of the conversation, because whether it was for Bitcoin or not, you should know how to handle things if you ever had to be on your own. And we did hear some of those truths yesterday from people. And it's a hard
Yeah.
reality, but it can happen. And you also want to understand the shift that's happening so you can prepare your kids for their future, and so you can prepare for your retirement and all these other things, because it's a really difficult situation that we're put in these days with inflation and what's happening with fiat currency and the money in the world. So it's something that some women don't really care too much about, because fiat is something we don't like to discuss. And I liked hearing about the whole taboo aspect of it, how people just have such trauma associated with currency and with money in general. And it could be just their upbringing or hardships that their family went through growing up, that it's something that you just try to avoid at all costs. But knowing that there's this answer for this problem that we're having now with Bitcoin, it's such a powerful thing to be a part of and to understand the shift that's happening and see why it's beneficial for all people going forward. So it's something that it was nice having the men in the group. It was nice that they
It
joined and
was.
they supported and brought more people, because some of them don't have families and they want to start a family, and they like hearing the perspective of other women that if they are Bitcoiners and their future wife isn't, it's good to bring them in on the
Right.
conversation, maybe introduce them to the Satoshi's communities.
Yeah. And I think also too, what was interesting is that sometimes I hear in different spaces or meetups, or even like in different communities, how they men struggle with trying to figure out a way to introduce it to their wives. I think somebody actually posted in the community just the other day about how they, you know, handed a big print to their wife as a, you know, ways to kind of introduce Bitcoin. And it's like people are trying to figure out ways to orange pill their family. It's all about communication. And I think that it was phenomenal that everybody pretty much agreed to like have the Satoshis, as I call them, into the Satoshi group, because we all need to learn how to communicate with each other. And I think that's like the beauty of Bitcoin, because it teaches you, one, that everybody comes from these different aspects of life and we're all different, but we all understand the common language of Bitcoin. And that's where it's like we as Bitcoiners, it should be like not our duty, but it should be like in us to help make that easier for the next person, regardless of who, you know, what side it is. You know what I mean? And I think that also applies to like kids and, you know, just making it easy and simpler for them to understand. And sometimes you have to meet people halfway, right? And it's like what that and understanding what that means for that person. Because I like how one person said yesterday that their child wasn't ready. Like they're like, he's not ready. Like he's 18, but you know, he's just not there yet. And I was just like, it's the honesty of that. But it doesn't mean she stopped doing something for him when it came to Bitcoin. Like she's still sacking sats for him. She still, you know, has his wallet. He just doesn't know about it. And I think that's an honest conversation. I think that having us come together brings about honest conversations and just, you know, more of a community vibe, because something I don't know, you may know. I think also too, what's interesting is the humbleness that you get from Bitcoin, right? So like, you couldn't have told me when I was 18 years old that my plan and my path was the best, right? I was doing exactly what I was told. You know, I was following the rules of society, you know, but all along I was just going into debt, right? I was going into debt to then try to get a job to then pay off that debt that I just got from doing something that they told me that was the right thing to do. And what humbled you or humbled me when I say Bitcoin found me was that like how I was at that age or how I was even 10 years ago, right? Like I had no idea of the system and how messed up it was. Like I want to curse.
No, I don't care. It's a personal victory for me, honestly, when I hear someone drop an F-bomb.
Right. Yeah. Cause I've heard a few F-bombs on it. And I'm like, all right, well, fuck it. You know,
Thank you. Thank you for making my day, because it's truth. You know, it's like, you're actually, you know, there is anger about it. We're conditioned to think this is, you're a good citizen. If you follow the rules, you're a good citizen. If you just do what you're supposed to do, what's expected of you. And that's why Bitcoin is such a shift in your reality. You all of a sudden realize that things you believed all your life and things you thought you were supposed to do, it's all bullshit. You're just like, wow, now I have this veil lifted and I could see the truth. And you wish more people could see that too. I love that you're being real. You know, that's the whole point. Like this podcast is like, you know, you can talk, you can be free and say what you want to say and how you really feel about it.
Yeah. I just, you know, I think after when you read the books, right? So when you start reading the Bitcoin related books, because not all the books I read in the beginning were Bitcoin books, right? Like The Creature from Jekyll Island doesn't mention Bitcoin at all. But what you understand is the Federal Reserve. You understand how it's created. You understand all the manipulation. Like I'm telling you, when we were reading that book, because we read it as a collective. So me and my other cousin, the other jump out girl, we read it together. So we would have these different chapters that we would, it's kind of like a book club, right? And when we would meet up to discuss it, we would be screaming, because it's just like, oh my God, we've been lied to our whole life. Like it's this unlearning that you go through, right? It's like a complete shift. And it's like, it affects all areas of your life, like all areas, you know, like I'm like, okay, I don't want to use this. I want to eat this way. You know, I'm ready to, you know, go live on a farm. I'm trying to be like a freeborn farmer. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you have these different, you know, thought processes because you realize that like the system is so broken.
And that's what I love about even somebody like him, freeborn farmer, is he thinks of farming as like this rebellion, you know, because you feel like you're rebelling against the system, yes. the food, the poison, you know, you want to live free and eat good, real food and all this stuff. There's so much about our system that's corrupt and meant to, you know, I don't know, make us feel depressed to control us, you know? So it's like they make you sick so that they can, you know, it's just this whole messed up kind of world. So it's like, you do want to be sovereign in different ways. You want to be able to cultivate your own food and you want to make yourself healthy. You want to eat better so that you can have a better future because there is hope.
Right. Yeah. It's so much hope. And I think like what, you know, when you see these different groups and people are talking about how they want to get healthy and it's like, it changes your mind, it changes your thought process. And I think that like, sometimes when I'm thinking about orange felon people, and I have, like I said, I meet people like where they are, but at the same time, I'm like, you have to understand the system of money before I feel like you can really get Bitcoin. And I say that because you have to understand how your dollar's not working for you. You have to understand that inflation is literally against you. Like you're not beating inflation with the dollar at all.
Right. So that's why I think it's important that not only you, but a lot of my guests have brought up The Creature of Jekyll Island. And I love that you brought up The Big Print by Lawrence Lepard, because those books, again, don't mention, like Lawrence's book mentions Bitcoin towards the end as an answer to this problem, but it starts off, it's The Big Print, and it starts off with understanding why money is broken, understanding why the system is messed up, understanding how you're being stolen from. And same thing with The Creature of Jekyll Island. Like, I honestly, I haven't read it, but I know the story of it, and I have it on my list. I'm planning to read it. But from what I understand, that book is about the creation of the Federal Reserve. And I don't know, does it talk about the Titanic in that book, how the people that went?
I wish that, you know, because like, I remember when the Titanic first came out, and I think it was in high school. Was I in high school? Middle school? High school? I can't remember. And it's just like, I remember being so sad, like, oh my God, this is such a sad story. But then now I'm like, fuck that. That shit was a setup. You know what I mean? Like, it was a pure setup. And it's just like, when you think about the, you know, JP Morgan and how he get on, you know, at the very last minute, and it's just like, come on. You know what I mean?
That's obvious. Like, didn't he own the Titanic? And then
I think he owned it. And then, you know, and then he had a separate one built. Like there was two. Right. So then I think he got on the other one that wasn't slated to be, you know, run into the glacier.
So that's the thing I thought too. I'm like, what a tragedy. How did this happen to these poor people? And then you realize that all the people that were on that boat, on that ship, were people that opposed the creation of the Federal Reserve, and the people that didn't go on the ship were the people that wanted to build it. And later that year, they implemented the Federal Reserve, and JP Morgan, nobody knows why, but he backed out of that trip and he ended up being part of the creation. So it's obvious politicians are corrupt. They do what they want and people just think, well, I have no choice. And it didn't feel like we did have an option until now. You know, we have this option to just opt out of this messed up greed and theft that they've created over these years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those books are definitely important books for people to read.
And when you were talking about the stock market, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a day trader. I try to be at one point, and I just couldn't, it wasn't for me, right? And I think that when people are watching charts and you're watching the market, you're watching manipulation, right? Because with the stock market, it's centralized. It's, we're going to give you this 2% return. We're going to give you this 10% return, but we also have to pay our CEO, you know, his $100,000+ bonus, sometimes $1 million bonuses. This year, we have to go make sure that we help bail these banks out and make sure that we're funneling this money to these different sources that backed us, that, you know, when you get down to like these conspiracy theories or whatever you want to say, it's like, they're all paying each other.
I don't know if you ever heard Max Kaiser talk about this, but he's a big Bitcoiner, and he was very early into Bitcoin. But I remember him saying one time, which just kind of put things into perspective for me, about how he was on Wall Street for many years and he saw the ins and outs of Wall Street. And he talks about 401ks being the biggest scam, because what they do is they take everyone's money from their 401k, they invest it. And then at the end of the year, you get some, you got 5% increase this year. Good for you. You did great with that money. But what they really do is they make profit off of your money. They keep those profits and they just put all the losing stocks in a basket and then put one little winner in there to make you have that 5%. And they're like, oh, look, you did okay. You made 5% this year.
And that's what you can appreciate too about people like Max Kaiser and even Lawrence is that, you know, people that are older than us, first of all, like they've been through more, right? I feel like they're wiser, they know more. But what really is that they've seen where their money didn't go. They saw where they expected their money to be at this point and it didn't go to that point. In his book in the beginning, the part one reminds me of The Creature from Jekyll Island in the sense of like it's breaking down how we got to where we are, but just from a modern right now standpoint. I had no idea what they do with like how they determine the CPI. Like that part still sticks out to me. It blew my mind that they say like, okay, if you have this new car, we're not going to add in all the extras that come in with the new car, like the, what is it? I think he pointed out like anti-lock brakes, if you have leather seats, because that's something that you decided to get. But it's like, what cars really don't come with those things now? Like it's far and rare that you don't see those things. And like when he was talking about what they do with meat and like with the chicken and the beef, they're going to go with a cheaper amount to put it into those numbers. And it's just like, it's mind-boggling because when you think about any survey, any statistic, anything that you've seen, especially from the media, and I call the media, and I got this from another person, the most evil devil in America, because the media is telling you based upon their statistics, based upon their surveys, oh, these numbers are great. Oh, yeah, unemployment is low. You know, job market is booming.
I think it's hilarious because I'm like, do they take into account that the jobs that they show are so high that people have to work two jobs now in order to make ends meet? They used to include food, energy, shelter, like those things in inflation. And then they just decided to remove those data points from their charts. So now they're saying, oh, inflation is going down, but they're not counting the things you need to survive. They're not counting the main parts of life that are making it hard to live. They're just deciding which data to include in that basket. And it's manipulation because you're not told the truth.
Right. You're not. And that's what you can appreciate most about Bitcoin. You know, there's no manipulation. There's no, in the sense of, there's no middleman to manipulate the market. There's no centralized authority. And it's not like we have to pay a CEO his bonus so that he and his family can go to Bali for their summer vacation. You know what I mean? And it's just like, that's what, you know, when I talk to people and I'm just talking to everyday people, and I try to talk to people who have no idea about Bitcoin, like never even, because there's still a lot of people who've never heard of it. They may have sparingly heard about like, oh, because now you see like on different TV shows and movies, and it's just like a snippet here and there. And, you know, but people don't pay attention. And that's another thing you realize that like people are just like, they're in fight or flight mode. And it's just like stuff is just going by them. So it's like something that I'm paying attention to, I'm going to catch it quick. You know, I think the other day someone tweeted how, what is it, NBA game, you know, they had Coinbase was advertised at the stadium, at the arena. And, you know, they were talking about like, if you pay, you get $5 if you sign up with Coinbase, if the Warriors win. And it's just like, I'm going to catch that fast. I'm going to see that. But the next person's not even going to pay attention to that. And it's just like, that's why when I talk to everyday people about Bitcoin, I'm just like, you know, how long do you think you have to work? You know, where do you see your money in 5 years? I just ask these basic questions and they're like, well, we got to work until this point. And, you know, I got to get this extra job. And it's just like, why do we have to do that? You know, like, and you're saving your money, you're putting in these banks who are then borrowing against your money and then questioning you over when you can take your money out. I'll never forget it. I was trying to send a wire to my nephew and I had to, you know, obviously you have to go into the bank and they're like, why do you need to send this wire? Why are you sending this money? And I'm like, what? Why? Why are you telling me about my money in the bank? But why do I need to send it to my family member?
That's like the most crazy thing. It's like, it's your money. And I've heard that from multiple people. Why do you care what I'm doing with my money? You know, it's like, what? Because you're worried about money laundering when the funny thing is they're so paranoid about money laundering when they're the ones, the banks, the politicians, they're the ones laundering money all the time. Like that's their main job. Like they don't, I feel like the amount of work they do for the government and the banks that are involved with these politicians and all this connected influence within each other, they are the crooks and they're looking at us like we're doing something wrong. If we send some money, it's like, screw you. I'm sending what? $1,000, you know, $10,000. You guys are sending billions and hundreds of billions of dollars and nobody blinks an eye.
They don't even blink an eye at all. And it's just like that. That's the part that really infuriates me. And I've heard other people on your podcast speak about that. And it's just like, you should be angry from that. You should be angry that, you know, now, because it's like for our generation, because we're similar in age, I would say that our generation, like with our parents, you know, like you have to now think about like, okay, depending on what your parents' age, you know, like, are they going to be able to survive off of what they have? And now, like, granted, you know, not everybody's in a situation, but are you able to take care of your parent or parents when that time comes, because their money's not going to work for them? Especially,
that's what I feel like. I talked to somebody yesterday who said it really well. He mentioned that the goalposts keep moving. So you're working harder and you're working more and you're working two jobs and you think, okay, this is going to get me there. But they keep pulling it away from you every time. Every time they print money, the finish line gets further away.
And now what is happening is that for the younger generation, and you hear this story all the time, you know, like my younger brother and my younger cousins, my younger family members, like they're not thinking about anything to do with like buying a house. They're not thinking about anything what it has to do with like the stock market. Like they're literally trying to figure out what's the most money I can make without going into debt. Because I will say that I hear that more often from them than what I heard from us, right? Like when I was their age, I didn't even have a concept of debt. I just thought that like, oh, you go to school, you get student loan.
We believe more that we were going to do these things and we're going to follow these rules and we're going to take out these loans and have a better job and pay all of it back and have a good life. But as kids are growing up, I think they see that that's not going to work.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate part, because, you know, it wasn't until I had my daughter that you realized like, oh my God, family's everything. Like I was already a family person, but like once you start raising your own family, it's like, oh wow, I probably couldn't take 10 kids, but I would physically and emotionally love 10 kids. You know what I mean? Because you just realize like, this is what life is about. You know what I mean? This is what life truly is about, is that next generation. And it's sad that that next generation is in this predicament where they can't obtain some things that a normal everyday person should be able to obtain. Like it shouldn't be a heartache or a financial burden to do basic things at home, get an education, even healthcare. Like people are avoiding going to hospitals and doctors because they're afraid of medical bills, you know? And it's just like, that is a fucked up way of the society that has happened to us. And like, it's a fucked up way to think too. You know, like I'm in such a financial strain that I'm going to sacrifice my health because I don't want to be able to, I can't afford that bill that may come. But then it's just like, what happens is it's like, you then put yourself in a worse situation by doing that. But it's like, you can understand that mindset and that mentality.
You know, you think, oh, I'm an American. I have a good life here. Wow. And why does middle class feel like you're in poverty? When you look at old TV shows or cartoons, even when you see, you know, Al Bundy, he was a shoe salesman and his wife didn't work and he was supporting a house with two kids. And yeah, they weren't rich, but he was able to have a wife stay at home and work as a shoe salesman. And they were able to be decent. You know, they were probably considered poor at that time, but now you wouldn't be able to afford that lifestyle at all. And even The Simpsons, it's like Homer Simpson was this doofus working at a power plant that didn't know anything. And he was able to support three kids, a two-car garage, house, you know, so, and it's like, and that was considered middle-class poor almost. Like they were just, and they lived in this beautiful neighborhood in a cartoon, of course, but how would that be reality today? How would you be able to have one person working, supporting three kids, you know, and feeling like you're doing okay?
Yeah. And I think that's why, like now, you know, I really try to hone in and really just talk to my daughter and talk to my younger cousins and talk to my brother and talk to anybody I can just about the importance of being able to like save your money. And I'm like, you're not going to save your money by putting it in the bank. Your money's not going to work for you by putting it in the bank. I'm sorry, it's not. And it's just like, you know, I try to make it as simple as possible. I'm like, listen, go get a fold card, go get any of these cards that any of these exchanges. And even though, you know, I know, and I again, that's where I say you got to meet people halfway. I know you shouldn't leave money on exchanges and things like that, but it's just like in the very beginning, I'm like, just do anything just to get started in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Please just do it. You know, just start. And then as you get started, then we can start working on the security, and then we can start working on the do's and the don'ts. But in the very beginning, I'm like, just get this one thing. Just go on Cash App, buy $5, $5 a day. You know, and it's just like you see these different stories of people who purchased, like who did DCA for like 3 or 4 years, and they just did $10 a day. And you look at what they did from then to now, and it's like where their money grew. And it's just like,
yeah, just averaging every day. You know what I mean? It's like, and then you don't worry about those dips and those upturns and buying it. It averages it out to end up over time being worth more anyway. So it's a good strategy.
Yeah. And, you know, I think also too, it's just like, you know, what I look forward to. And while, you know, we have all these gripes and it's, you know, you can get angry and, you know, you read some of these books and I'm frustrated. I'm, you know, I remember when I was reading part one of the Big Print, I was just like, I felt like how I felt when I was reading Creature from Jekyll Island. Like I was pissed off again. And it's just like, but then you realize like, I've already started the solution. I'm okay. You know, now I need to get as many people as I know around me. Okay. You know what I mean? And I think that you have to realize that not everybody's going to meet you at the same point. And, you know, the cliche saying you get Bitcoin at the price you deserve, right? And it's just like, that's okay too, right? And it's never too late, because I tell you, the number one question I'll always get, and it's, you know, like from my close friends and family, is it too late? And I'm like, it's not too late.
I think I usually tell them when they think it's too late and the price is too high, you just have to remind people that there is such a limited supply. You know, and you think that, you know, it's this price now and we're at the cusp of this hyper Bitcoinization at some point, you know?
Yeah. And I think also too, it's, you know, I try not to get too excited when I hear, you know, different organizations or different people that are, you know, considered, you know, higher influencers, because those people weren't around when I first learned about Bitcoin, right? They didn't matter to me then. And it's not that I'm trying to say they don't matter now, but it's just like, I think it's easy to get caught up in the hype of what they're doing, but it's just like, that's for them. You know what I mean? Like, it's great for, don't get me wrong, it is great for the community. It's great for the market. You know, it definitely pushes more adoption, but like, it's not like more people, everyday people are then buying, right? So it's like, that's where I think like, it's up to us, the everyday people, to still buy and still promote and still, you know, try to orange pill people.
So many people that are focused on that, thinking that, oh, now Bitcoin's gonna mean something because these American companies and corporations care about it. But when you look at the global impact that's happening, and when you look at all these other nations that their currency has been destroyed by hyperinflation, and they've had to look for other options, and then they also know what's going on with the US dollar at the same time and how it's being inflated the same way theirs was, because they've already been through it. You know, so when they look for an option, they're not looking to just get the dollar and stay with it. They're looking to maybe short term use dollars because they have to, because their currency imploded, or they look for Bitcoin as an answer because this is their only choice. Like, they have to use something that nobody can corrupt and do the same thing with that happened to their currency. So when they see all these policies happening in the US and companies talking about it, they're like, cool, good for you guys, but we're already using it. Like, we don't have another choice, you know? So other countries are like, cool, do it, don't do it, we don't care, we're still adopting it. And Bitcoin grew to where it is because the world saw its value and needed something that was incorruptible, and the world is adopting it. So whether or not companies get it, cool if they do, and yes, that'll contribute to the supply diminishing faster, you know, because more people will collect it. But at the same time, even if they don't, nobody cares, because the whole world needs this because of inflation, which is the money printing with the greed.
Yeah. I think your what stood out right now is when you spoke to, I can't think of his name around, but the guy from Nigeria when the fear was out. Yeah. So I've been to Zimbabwe. I haven't been to Nigeria, obviously. I want to meet up with him. But what was interesting to me about when I was in Zimbabwe is witnessing how this supply of money diminishes, and it was literally worth nothing. So my friend who's from Zimbabwe, he said, okay, Fatima, when we go there, I'm going to take you to the gas station. And I was like, all right. And I didn't know what he was doing. So it was like me and my husband and he and his wife. And when we pulled up to the gas station, the queue, as they call it, the line, as we would say, was literally like 3 miles long. And the reason why the line was so long was because people were trying to buy gas at a point when, I don't know what the Zimbabwe money is referred to as, but like basically when it was at a higher amount so they could get gas. And sometimes what would happen is the queue was so long that people would spend the night waiting for gas, and it would take 3 days to get this gas. So I can't even imagine, like, when you think about like what people have to do in order to get gas to put into their vehicle to get to work, to buy groceries. Maybe if you're sick and you need to go to the hospital, you're waiting in a queue for up to three days just to get gas. Like, it blew my mind, you know? And it was just like, he was like, Fatima, the money is worth nothing here. He says, so anytime, like if you get, and I may not be saying this correctly, but basically like if it goes up just a little bit, people are trying to like either flip it. So they're either were trying to get somebody who had American dollars to buy from them because some people still wanted to use it, or they were trying to obtain things that they normally couldn't because it was so low and it wasn't worth anything. And I was just like, just think about that mindset. And then when I was listening to that podcast with the other guy from Nigeria, and the power went out, he's like, we don't care about what America's doing, you know, like, not to say, and it wasn't in a rude way, but it gets back to the point of like, they don't care about what Michael Saylor's doing. They don't care about Jack. They don't care about any of these people, because it's just like, they've already experienced. And what I'm a ramble a little bit, but Americans don't realize that we're also experiencing the same thing in a different way. It's just a different way. Like, we just have more quote unquote luxuries and it looks better. Right. But at the same time, we're experiencing the exact same thing, where it's just like your money's not working for you. It's just worse in certain areas, where it's just like it affects your food supply. It affects your electricity. It affects, you know what I mean? Like, it affects so many different, it affects so many more areas of your life than what we see on a day-to-day basis. So it's just like it humbled me, you know? And at that time, I don't think that, did I know about Bitcoin then? I don't think I did. So it's like when I hear about Zimbabwe and Venezuela and all these different countries where it's just like their money's trash. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen that post where Venezuelans were like throwing the money on the ground.
I think it was, like, I don't know if it was there or Argentina, but yeah, they would like, you look at the pictures of the street, it's littered with fiat.
Yes. Because it's worth nothing. And it's just like, what we don't realize is that's the same fucking thing here. It's the same thing here. It's, yes, you can, you know, I know not to the, you know, dollar for, you know, apple for apple, but it's the same concept.
It is. It's just a later stage for them. And for here, it's an earlier, we're seeing it earlier because we are the world reserve currency. And that's the misconception that Americans have, that the entitlement that Americans have, the financial privilege that we have here in America, to think that, oh, that sucks for those countries. America's the best and we're doing okay. So at least we have the dollar. Good for us. But it's like the rest of the world is suffering. And why do you not care that other people are suffering? Why do we think that, good thing we're Americans, thank God for that. But it's like, you know what? Like, we should care about the rest of the world, because the rest of the world is hurting. And that's why the shift is happening. So it's like, maybe Americans, okay, they're at least some are wise, some are Bitcoiners, some see the sound money is the answer. But other countries have already found this out, because they have to. They have the need to know basis. They had to look for an answer. So it's almost like more. I think I said this on a loose podcast too. It's almost a blessing to the people that lose their currency first, because they find Bitcoin first. For all the Americans here that think that they're safe on the Titanic, you know, we talk, you know, they're sitting there on their ship, drinking their fucking, listening to, you know, just having a good, living their best life while the rest of the world is drowning, and they're already looking for their lifeboats while they're just sitting on the ship, not realizing it's starting to go down. And they're the last ones to go look for a lifeboat. So they say about the fourth turning, and about how things, societies have crumbled due to devaluation of currency. When you look at currencies over history and time, there's always greed involved, and these things end up contributing to collapse it. And it won't mean that, like, at least back then there was only gold was the answer. So it's like, okay, fine, the currency collapsed, but now we'll just go back to gold or something. But now you have Bitcoin, which is better than gold. Even the government has said that now. And you know, when people still make the argument about gold, it's like, well, you can't just take your gold bars with you and travel. And what if, you have your gold in the stock market? How do you know that that's just not paper gold? How do you know you don't just have, like, they tell you that the gold is there, but if you ever wanted to withdraw your stock, like if everyone wanted to do a bank run on the gold stocks, do they even have the reserves? Do they even have the gold they're selling to you? So you're just holding, when they think, what are you holding when you hold Bitcoin? What do you hold when you hold a gold stock?
Yes. Yes, nothing. And I like when people are explaining basically like the housing market, you know, similar to like what you were just saying, like if you try to go get this gold out of the stock market, it would be like another Silicon Valley Bank issue where everybody's trying to pull, you know, pull their money out. And it's like, oh, sorry, we don't have that. We don't have your reserve. We actually, you know, did some bad business banking and, you know, we were negative. You know what I mean? So it's like when you think about the situation of gold, it's kind of like, you can't carry gold with you if you need to get out of the country. If you have bars of gold, how are you going to carry that? You know what I mean? It's going to get confiscated, first of all, right? Like, and that's where it's just like the argument of like someone, I saw someone tweeted the other day, like, you can have your Bitcoin, I have my gold. I'm like, you probably don't have your gold.
Unless you're seeing it sit there, and then how the hell are you going to travel with that? But yeah, if you're having it in a stock, what do you own? Like, at least when you own Bitcoin, like, I love the idea. My favorite, like, idea of thinking about Bitcoin is you're owning a piece of all of not just the hash power in the world, all the mining power that goes into securing the network to make sure no one steals from it and changes its you know, total supply. But I love that you're not only owning a piece of that mining power, that total power in the world, but you're owning a piece of all future labor in the world, like all future productivity. Yeah, right. It's just, it's a lot to wrap your head around, but
it is,
it's a fascinating way to think about it. And all we are, once we find out the truth, we're just like, we don't want to be taken advantage of anymore. We're not standing for it. No. You know, we're not about to be falling for any more bullshit, any more lies. We don't trust media. Like you said, like I love independent journalists. I love people that speak their voice and tell their truth. I love people that do investigating. I don't feel like media does that. They're manipulating your idea about what's happening. It's all propaganda. So you can make people think something is going on. So you can, you know, push your narrative and control what people think about what's happening. So it's really disgusting. So media is not investigative. They're not actual journalists. They're just a bunch of puppets pushing narratives. And it's horrible. So it's like, we don't trust, we verify, you know, that's the whole thing for Bitcoin.
Yeah. You know, it's like my husband said, cause he was in the Navy and, you know, he did like, you know, some overseas, you know, combat stuff. And he's just like, he's like, how does he say? He said, people have it too good here in America. He's like, we have it too good. And it's just like, not to say like we want to humble people, but it's just like, until like people realize that they're being lied to and that the media is just propaganda and just telling them whatever they've been paid to tell you, right? And that's the other thing. You see all the connections of the dots, especially from reading some of these books, like, oh, so this big farm person is on, this CEO is on this board of directors, and they all work together. Okay, you know what I mean? And that's the part where it's just like, oh my God, the aha moments for me. But then it's just like you wish that more people connected those dots and you wish that more people understood that this is not, we're not in a good place. We haven't been. It's not like right now, you know, it's been a gradual decline, you know what I mean? And a purposeful decline, right? To get you more into debt, to get you more, you know, borrowing from the system and, you know, oh, okay, well, go ahead and refinance this and, you know, take this money out your house and go into more debt. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, pay off these loans, but then go into more debt because you just refinanced your loan. You know what I mean? Your mortgage payment is higher, you know, and it's just
and that's why it's like all this debt. It's like, reminds you of The Big Short, where it was the housing market crisis, where now it's where that saying where he's like, it's a bubble, you know, and he realizes it's like right now we're that credit bubble. So it's just really, we're in this huge shift of people that it becomes easier to tell people about Bitcoin. It becomes easier to tell people and they want to hear because people are realizing as more time goes by, as the system starts to show its true colors, as people feel like life is harder, there are more people like Nigeria, like Zimbabwe, like Venezuela, Argentina, all these places that have crumbled due to their inflation falling. They have to look for an answer. So that just shows you another reason why we are at the cusp of this you know, huge shift into right. sound money. So the more they hurt any one of those people who is waiting in line for gas for days at a time, any single person that's struggling is going to look for an answer and listen to a Bitcoiner more because things get harder yeah. and it will be easier yeah. to show them the truth. And then, yeah, it's actually maybe this hardship is a blessing because we find these answers, you know? So,
yes. Yeah. And that's the other thing too. I think that I've been trying to practice more gratitude in the sense of like being appreciative of where you are and being appreciative of the struggles that you've been through and also the unlearning that we're going through, because you made a fantastic point. If we were the 1%, it wouldn't even faze us, because by the time Bitcoin got to a certain price, we would just liquidate and just be like, okay, go buy it at that price. It wouldn't be a price factor because of the 1%. But being that we're not the 1%, I feel like you have more gratitude and you're more appreciative, like you said, of, you know, the situation. And that's where I really try to really implement gratitude, because it's easy to get sucked into the realm of Bitcoin. And I love being in the realm of Bitcoin. But then also too, I have to realize, you know, I need to be grateful for everything. I need to be grateful for this beautiful plant behind me. I need to be grateful to be able to read to my daughter Bitcoin books. You know, I need to be grateful to be able to speak to people like you. And it's just like, it helps me so much, just because I learn so much and I learn more every day. And it's just like, I feel like I'm learning, like, I feel like my brain is in like overdrive, yeah. you know, like I need to just like sometimes just breathe, you know, like calm down, you know, everything's going to be okay. And, you know, like this is all going to work out. But it's just like, you just want it to work so bad. You want it to, you know, you want to take in as much information as possible because you understand and you can see it and you see where it can go and you can see how influential it's going to be to your life and your children's lives. And it's just like, oh, wow, what a amazing, amazing feeling and thing, you know, yeah. like, because I truly think, and I hear this question a lot, I truly believe that like we, you know, like us parents, we will see what Bitcoin will do on a scale of, you know, it's going to really change people's lives. But I personally think that our children are going to see it drastically more than us. They're going to see it on a level that we will yeah. never see. Right. And that's where it's like the beauty of the selflessness. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, this is so incredible for them. Like for that experience of them. And it's just like, that's where another thing about starting a family and being able to like do that for your children, it's just an incredible feeling.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how much Bitcoin you have, what you think is a good amount, just yeah. putting some of your time and energy spent working into it, just slowly put into it. It's like all any of that will make a huge impact in the future. It's not like you have to yeah. have a Bitcoin. You don't have to have half a Bitcoin. You could have a piece of a Bitcoin. Any piece of a Bitcoin is better than not having any Bitcoin. So just yeah. do it. Just get some, you know, just even if it's $100 and just let it sit forever. You know, it's like just yeah. you just get it, you know. But I think you're right. Practicing that gratitude is something that this community is. This community is grateful. We are grateful that we know, because we know how early this is. We know how such a small percentage of the population understands it yet. So you do have this gratitude that you are early, right. that even though the price is right. this high, you are early. And it's only like 1994 of the internet right now, as far as the growth of Bitcoin. Yeah. So we're so right. early. This is just the beginning. So it's like, you be grateful for that. Be grateful that you found out about it. Be grateful to connect with other Bitcoiners and be able to talk to your kids and have hope for the future. That's all gratitude. And yeah. I'm so happy to talk to people like you, because even though my mind is in overdrive and I feel like you're right, you want to consume all this information. And I feel like my mind, every time I speak to people like you, any Bitcoiner, I get more energized, you know, even though it's a lot of work, right. it's so fun. It's so fun to talk to people and I feel uplifted and I feel so hopeful yeah. and we do all teach each other something. So I'm really enjoying it. So even though you're in overdrive, it's like an energetic overdrive. I do want to ask you about something that is an interesting fact about you that most people don't know.
Okay. That most people don't know.
Or even just people in the Bitcoin community don't know.
I am afraid of heights. I am petrified of heights, but I have jumped off. So I went to Zimbabwe, obviously, and I jumped off the bridge. It's called, wow, I'm having a brain fart.
It's okay. Oh, you don't have to say the name of it. It's okay. I have brain farts all the time.
I don't remember it. It's Victoria Falls. Okay. So in Victoria Falls, they have this bridge that overlooks the falls. And I don't even know how high it is. But when I jumped, the funniest thing is when I jumped, I felt like I was a bird and I was trying to fly. So I'm literally.
That's amazing.
My husband went, my friend went, and they all went like this. Like, they were like, you know, because you got to jump off this bridge.
You're like clawing your way.
I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, so I'm petrified of heights, but I do stuff like that. Like I've been skydiving. You know, yeah, I've jumped off the Victoria Falls Bridge. And it's just like, it's weird because when I go on a ladder, I'm literally shaking. I'm
wow.
like, but I still do these things. Now, would I do it again?
But
no.
See, that's so cool about you. And I'm so glad you shared that because I don't consider myself afraid of heights and I would never do that stuff because it scares me. But I think it's amazing because it shows that it's a challenge for you. It's a mental challenge. It's a physical challenge.
Yeah.
And for you to show yourself that I'm terrified to do something and you just say, fuck it, I'm going to do it, you know?
Right.
You know, everyone else is doing it. You could back out easily and just say, I'm not, you know, I'll watch you guys jump, but you did it. And that's insanely like a crazy mental block to overcome. And even for somebody like me who doesn't think I could climb a ladder and I'm not scared, but you know what I mean? So that's awesome to face your fears and to, you know, try something that you're scared of. That's incredible because I think there's so many people who could resonate with that, whether it's, you know, doing anything that you're doing in life, whether it's, you know, being more part of the Bitcoin community and speaking up, you know, and, you know, joining me on this podcast and sharing your voice. You know, there's so many things in life that can be scary or weird, but that's a very inspirational point to share because good for you. And you were just like, I think I would probably have a heart attack before I even jumped. I think it would just like,
My husband's like, you were literally like, you look like you were flying, like you were trying to fly. But I think it also speaks to like, you know, jump out girls.
Yeah,
and
I was
like
going to connect.
You know, I just feel like, you know, we just jump out there and it's just like some things we jump out there and it's just like I jump and I try not to think about it and I'm scared.
Awesome.
I'm nervous. I remember when we first started doing the podcast, like my cousin and I would literally get up and we would be drenched in sweat from sweating because we were so nervous. You know what I mean? But we still did it. And I feel like that's the beauty of Bitcoin. You have to get uncomfortable. You have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? Because you know what I mean? Like it forces you, not forces you, I don't want to say force, but it causes you to like unlearn and learn more and, you know, all these different things we've already spoken about. And it's just like those things, you were comfortable in a comfort zone. You were comfortable thinking fiat is great, you know, not great, but like this is the right thing. And, you know, my 401k and I'm putting money in the bank, like you were comfortable. And then the minute you found Bitcoin or Bitcoin found you, as I say, you became uncomfortable because you're like, whoa, I got to change some things. Whoa, I got to reshuffle. Whoa, I have to do this differently. And I think that's like kind of like my motto. Like, it's just like, just jump out there and do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're,
who cares if you're nervous, you know?
Yeah. And you're, that just shows that you're, you know, being comfortable with change is such an important part of life because life always changes.
Correct.
And thank you so much for sharing that because your name means so much. I'm going to share her name down below. You know, when I post this video, so you guys can follow her on X. And you know, that's the cool thing. Like I thought, oh, you just like jump out girls. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but it means something to you. It means bravery.
It means something.
And who's the other jump out girl?
That's my cousin. So she's heavily involved with like her. She has three wonderful boys. She and her husband own a business. So it's just like, she's super busy, but like, that's just our motto, you know, like we've just been jumping out there and just like finding our way and just really just trying to unbreak these generational curses and just really do things untraditionally. And, you know, cause we've done them traditionally for so long and it didn't work in our favor. Right. And then it's just like, now that we found Bitcoin's found us, you know, we're just like, keep jumping, keep exploring, keep finding out, you know, more information. Ask the questions, you know, don't be afraid, you know, like that. What is it? What's going on with the developers? I had no idea what they were talking about. No idea. But it's just like, once I started asking questions, you know, and people in the community started helping me and it's just like, I was like, break this down simpler. You know, like, I have no idea what this OPS next function is. You know, I don't even know what you're talking about. And it's just like, don't be afraid, you know, just jump out there.
Oh my God. I feel like this entire conversation has been incredible. Everything we talked about was so, you know, just like that rebel feel, like we're just, you know, we're just like, screw that. We're not going to put up with it. And speaking so many truths, but then ending it, I have goosebumps. I feel like I get them at least once with every guest, but like, I had such a fun time talking to you, but hearing that and how you get energy by doing things that you're doing, by talking to other Bitcoiners, you gave me this like such a full heart feeling. Like, I feel so much love for you. Like, this is just such a, I mean, your name means so much. Like, it's such a cool thing about just facing your fear and being brave and learning new things, having a growth mindset. Like, you're okay with change. You're okay with learning new things. You're okay with facing fears. Like, you're growing your mind every time you do these things and you jump out, and you and your cousin that's incredible. Do you guys share the account or no?
Yeah. So basically it's me mostly, just because she's so busy. You can tell sometimes, like, she's very witty. She's a lot more wittier than I am, but you can kind of see the differences in the posts, but mostly it's me right now just because she's so busy. But yeah, I just wanted to also just tell you, thank you. I felt like when I found you, my friend was telling me, she's like, you just need to find, cause I was like, where are the Women in Bitcoin podcasts? You know, like, I would do like Google searches, and obviously, like, people's names, what they name their podcast is personal, right? So it doesn't always have to necessarily have Bitcoin in it. And she was just like, you need to find more women and just connect with those women, and you guys build each other up. And I lie to you not, I found you like within
that week. Did you do a Google search, or was it on X?
No, so it was just like on X. And it was just like, you kept popping up in my feed. And I was just like, who is this girl? Oh my God, her posts are so neat. What is this? And then it's just like, when you said you were starting the podcast, I was like, boom, there we go. Awesome. You know what I mean? And it was just like that connection of energy, and you just do it so well. And it's such a, like, I didn't even realize we were recording. I was like, oh shit, she started.
I like doing that. I like catching you guys off guard. I'm like, yeah, we're just already talking. So that's my favorite part.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's just, you can sense when someone is sincere and genuine. And it's just like, some of these conversations you've had, you know, from, you know, the serious and the technicals to the very, you know, freeborn farmer, like, you know, like, just the way that you handle these, and just, you know, it just feels like you're talking literally to your friend sitting on a couch, you know. And I think that's an amazing thing. And I think also too, I think from, in my personal opinion, it's something about people who do things with their hands. And, you know, I know you're a stylist, and, you know, you have the salon and stuff. And I feel like you're already so used to listening to people that this is just easy, you know, like, not easy, I don't mean it like that, but just like, it's just like you're talking to one of your clients, you know what I mean? And like, they always share stuff with you, and you have an understanding, you're always taking in, you know, this information. So I just wanted to say, thank you so much. And I'm so happy for you. And I'm so happy for the success of the podcast, and, you know, just to see it grow, and just everything that's going to come later in life, and just the people that you're going to speak to. And I love all the pod, you know, the videos. I'm not able to watch every single one at the time that they drop, but I do try to watch them all. And it's just like a smooth conversation. Like, literally, I had it in the car, and my husband was just like, oh, that's the girl who you're going to be speaking to on Monday? I was like, yeah. He's like, wow. He's like, I feel like she's just sitting here right here talking to us. I was like,
That's so nice to hear. I'm so happy. And I feel like it's almost like the way things happen, because I felt like it happened, just the energy shift that happened, and the way I felt like it was just time, and the way you were looking for what you were looking for. It's almost like things just were meant to happen the way they were. And to, it's like everyone's energy kind of gave me the feeling to go ahead and do it. So, and I do think that having this job, you know, talking to people, like, you're a therapist as a hairdresser, and, you know, sometimes they give me therapy. Like, I'm talking to them about my problems or my concerns, and they're helping me through situations. Like, sometimes I asked this lady the other day, I'm like, all right, are you guys ready to give me some help right now? Cause I have some, you know, and they're like, yeah, sure, tell us what's going on. So I'm like, I'm like, you're here to relax, and now I'm telling you about my stuff. But people are very, it's really fun to do that, especially now that I get to do that with people who understand Bitcoin. It's like, I always have fun with people at work, and I always find out interesting things about them, but to do it with Bitcoiners is the most rewarding thing ever. And that's what I like about the conversation, feeling the way it does, feeling like I'm just at work, feeling like that salon talk that people don't get in real life in many places. You get to hear that. And I hope that this podcast reaches more people that don't understand Bitcoin so they could just resonate with somebody I've spoke to and just be like, oh, that's an interesting talk. They're just chatting about stuff that I just want to hear what they have to say. And that could show them the way, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's super important. And I love that you're telling me you feel that way about it and you enjoy listening and your husband, you know, thought it was cool too. So that really makes me happy. And I appreciate all of your support and I appreciate that you are having fun doing it and listening. So it's really, really an incredible thing. And this community is amazing. And I am so honored to get to know you, Jump Out Girl, because
thank you so much, Stacey. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. So I really can't wait to post this. I feel like every time, that's why I post so many. You know, it's not that I want to bombard people with my podcast, but I'm so much enjoying talking to you guys that I'm booking a decent amount on my days off. And when I decide to post them so quickly, I'm like hustling. I'm like trying to like get them edited so I can post them because I can't wait to share your voice. You know, I can't wait to do it. So I'm not trying to do it to be like pumping them out, but I do enjoy talking to people and I want people to see them. So I'm trying to, I don't want you to wait too long to have to see this. So that's why I'm pushing them out.
No. Yeah. And I think also too, like the thing about, because I got, after I had my daughter, it was harder for us to like come together and post and do our videos. And it's just like, I think that like, you know, when you have like so much content, it's good to just to keep doing it because sometimes you are going to need a little break. You know what I mean? It's like when you have a buildup and you have like kind of like a backfill of videos that you can post, it gives you some time where it's just like, hey, I'm just gonna relax, you know, this week I'm on vacation with my family or I'm doing something. So it's just like, it's great, the consistency is needed. And even if it's low views, high views, whatever, it's evergreen, you know. I feel like, and that's what I think about now too, like when I look at certain posts or I read certain things, I'm like, in years or 5 years, 10 years, somebody's gonna watch this. Because, you know, we're here now and we're experiencing.
That's true.
It.
I do love that because I think somebody could look back one day and hear this and say, look at that. She was talking about this. Yes. You know, so your voice will be always out there and they will know the date that you spoke about this before anybody else knew about it. And it makes me feel happy to think what you said too, because when I do need to take a break for a little while, it gives people a chance who haven't caught up on a lot of my episodes to go back and catch up on those before I start posting more. So. Thank you. Great. Thank you so much for your time today. And I really can't wait to share this. Okay, have a great day. I will see you on X. All right.